On-deck business loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. You call, you get on. That is the Midday Amount, as promised. And the number, obviously, is 1-300-736-736. Brought to us by Werribee Kia, always making buying cars easy. Drew and Red Hill jumped on just before 2, but rather than squeeze Drew up before the 2 o'clock news, let's give Drew a couple of minutes before Dermot Burton joins us. He's next up on the Barclay Smokehouse ham lunch menu. Drew, welcome to you. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Thanks for taking the call. Thanks for holding the news up. Just in regards to the news, I was listening this morning, as I listen every day to the station. Love listening. You put out in the sports story out from the V&L game last night between the Casey Demons and the Burundara Express. It's just really happy to hear that. With SEN coming on with the Mavericks and so forth, and netball's getting a little bit more exposure, and, which excites me. I've got my daughter who plays in the VNL, and they shout out to her. They had a good win last night. She popped in 46 of the 67 goals in their team's 14-goal win last night. But yeah, I'm just really excited and happy to hear the results. Place it out. So a little bit of love to the VNL. I was wrapped.
Yeah, great to have you called, Drew, and I think you will be hearing a lot more netball on SEN, obviously, with our involvement with the Mavericks. So great to have you call, and get ready for it. It's about to begin. Dermot Burton has been good enough to join me, AFL Nation commentator, superstar, five-time day, five-time night gun, Fox footy guru. Welcome to you, Derm. Great to have you back on.
Hello, Dwayne. How are you? I'm going to start off today and say somebody at Linked, you know, the city pass driving thing, has to, they've got to do an examination there. Because every time I use CityLink or, you know, travel on one of those freeways and my Linked account gets debited, that night, that very night, every time between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m.
Let me guess, you get the spam text that I get.
Yeah, you get the bogus spam text that requests money that you send it to. And it only happens on the days after the night after you drive on it.
Right.
So somebody in there is handing on the information. Their heads must roll. Heads must roll. I've had enough of listening to your show during the week so far. And people saying heads must roll at Essendon.
Yep.
No. Linked. Linked. Heads must roll at Linked.
Right, I was throwing it out. I did get a text this morning. I got it here, 2:56 a.m. Your toll is due. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I get that spam text all the time.
They're always between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m.
Why is it they do it in the morning? Can't they do it at a nicer time? You're laying in your bed and you think, oh, something's happened. I mean, we've all got kids. You get a text at 2:56 in the morning. You think the worst. You have to get up and what and see what it is.
Yeah, and then you say, oh, you blokes again.
Yeah. Well, there's a parcel due to be delivered. Make sure you send the money to get your parcel delivered.
Correct.
The trials and tribulations of being Dermot Burton. Good to have you, Derm. Who do you
think? Thank you,
Let's do some footy. Well, firstly, gather round. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was fantastic, wasn't it? Chatting to people and like family members, and we're all Irish, obviously, and you're talking about the old country and you're talking about the UK, you're talking about the Premier League. Where else in the world can you have the best representation of 18 different football jumpers being walked down a city street in complete harmony? That's one thing I love about, one of the things I love about Australian rules football, is that we can all cohabitate the same ground. I remember going to a game in the 80s in England, and it was Millwall against Crystal Palace. Well, they actually shut one end of the ground of the supporters in and ushered the Millwall supporters who were visiting out the door and kept everybody inside for 20 to 30 minutes. You cannot mix the supporters. But how good is Australia when you... and the AFL, when you can have this without one hitch, it's fantastic.
And you were in your element getting selfies. There was a lot of love on the streets for you.
Well, I thought I was, I thought, gee, I'm getting all popular again, Dwayne. And then I walked back over the bridge one day back to the hotel with Eddie Betts, and I thought, nah, things have changed. Eddie was the king. Yeah, he took 15 selfies to my one on average.
So who's number one at Fox now? Jack Rewalt's up there, isn't there? Jack gets plenty of love on the streets.
He gets plenty of love. I think pure love for characters, I think it is Eddie. People love him. Mm. They love Brownie as well. Because Brownie's so approachable. In fact, Alistair Lynch actually says when they used to go out, you know, after a game and have a drink or something to wind down, they'd be in the hotel bar. Somebody would walk up to Brownie, and in the end, Brownie's teammates would walk up to that person who started speaking to Brownie, and they say, mate, do you need a chop out? Because he's hard to get away from this bloke, Jonathan Brown.
That's funny. Derm, who wins tonight, Melbourne, Brisbane?
In the short word, I reckon Melbourne. They've proved themselves to be pretty good performers after the hiccups early on in the year. They're pretty well settled. They did really well. I mean, to knock over Port Adelaide over there was just heroic. And then they follow up with the biggest one was Port Adelaide, but then they can do both Adelaide teams on the road. So, yeah, they're in good nick. They don't want for much at the moment. I mean, every team's got a few holes and the likes, but their relentless drive run up and down the ground is fantastic. And we watched Brisbane as well. But yeah. I hope they've hit their straps. It's just hard to gauge how well a team is playing, whether a team who's looking for form, when they strike North Melbourne or the West Coast Eagles or even the Hawks. But the Hawks probably can at least punish you on the board quickly in a half. The other boys, the other two teams, don't really get that. They can be competitive, but they don't really win quarters, you know, convincingly like Hawthorn can. So it's hard to gauge whether a team has come back into form after you've played North Melbourne or West Coast. And North Melbourne tried to play a game style, which was probably a bit beyond them, probably a bit silly on that small, narrow deck at Norwood. So the jury's still out whether they've hit their straps, but it was great to see Eric Hipwood run himself into a bit of form.
Yep.
Danaher as well. So, I mean, they'll give it. They're a good team. We know they're going to be there by the end. We know they're going to win more by the end of the year than they lose. But it's how many they can win. Whether they can make top four is the big ask. You know how they go about that when they're getting to finals. But, look, I think Melbourne are in a better position so far.
Who's under more pressure to win tomorrow night? Western Bulldogs or Essendon? And my argument is that they're both 2-2, but the expectation is a lot higher on the Dogs this year than Essendon. But a few Essendon fans have corrected me, told me that they were expecting pre-season they would make the eight, that their list was good enough to make the eight, that they're kind of resigned to the fact that maybe their list is not that good now. But who's under more pressure tomorrow?
Oh, look, if you were to ask the supporters of each, they're both dissatisfied groups, aren't they? So they'll actually nominate themselves, I would imagine. But the Dogs have got more upside with the talent they've got in their side. Whereas the Bombers, they're still, once again, I hate using the words, but the jury's out. How good can some of these players be? We don't know. Last year, they were meant to rise again. I mean, the expectation last year was that they would press for finals, and they didn't. They were ordinary. And then a couple of things go right. They recruit who they wanted to recruit, and even though they're, as you say, 2-2, it's hardly resounding, is it? So I've got more confidence in the Western Bulldogs' names on the field. They're a bit clunky at the moment as well. I saw, we spoke of Jonathan Brown before, and they spoke about their forward setup and the fact that Darcy's come into the team and he's been able to mark the ball high off the ground on a full first line, full forward type player, that leaves Ugel Hagen to be the mobile target inside 50. So there you set Norton up the ground to be a connector, and he's trying to learn how to play that, because what happens with Aaron Norton, and the thing the boys didn't mention, was he just sees every ball that drops in his vicinity, every kick that drops in his area, he sees that as an opportunity to take a screamer, which is a great attitude. If you don't want to go and get it, you won't go and get it. So I love the way he does that. So he's having to learn now to hit up the ground and be that link player. He did it really well the week before. It was against lesser opportunity. Again, as I've just mentioned, it was against North Melbourne the previous week. But I thought he played exceptionally well. He just got it a bit wrong on the bigger ground last weekend. So I think all their moving parts are more reliable than perhaps we believe Essendon's to be at the moment.
And your Hawks are trying to work them out after last week against Collingwood. I'm still not kind of convinced that they've got the ability to win 8 or 9 games this year, even though that's about the mark that most expected pre-season. You need players. They're missing players. And yet they ran the reigning premier to within a kick.
Yeah, the one thing I've noticed about the Hawks is, Sam's been fantastic giving them different game styles and strategies to try and approach. And if you're going to ever do that, try out a team and see what their DNA is, you do it while you're at this stage. If you truly are pressing for finals, you don't start tinkering with your game style then and then learn, oh, that's not the style we are, and you've lost that game, and that might affect whether you make finals or not. You do it now. I honestly believed that they were going to win the same amount of games as last year. And if you wanted to say a real success, plus one, just one more than last year. If you look at teams, the way they build for premiership success, they get all the parts there, and they, in terms of recruiting draft picks, that's your basis. And then when you're near the end where you think, now's our shot, then you go out and cherry pick and you get some mature recruits. Hawthorn are nowhere near that. The parts aren't all there at the moment. So at the moment, they've got one, you know, robust key forward. They've got a couple of clever small forwards that they've recruited to the club. They've got a really strong bull midfield. They've got two ruckmen that they can't settle on, but I think both are quite good. But they're both still very, very young. And the back line's going to need some work into the future. I really like the look of Weddle, and he might end up being a big, big mobile winger in the end. So all their parts aren't there at the club yet for what they want to have a tilt at premiership success. But the one thing I've noticed about them, if you look at the way they took on Geelong, the game style they tried to play with, quick hands, trying to get through Geelong, and Geelong were just magnificent in the way they shut it down. Then the rain came and they simplified their games. What's their DNA? Their DNA is Connor Nash, Warpool and Jai Newcombe. That's their DNA. Win the ball at contest and get it going forward with a bit of pace on it. When it started raining, they did that and they came back into the match. When they were, put their shoulders to the wheel on the weekend after Collingwood blew them away early on, not blew them away, but got a 5-6 goal lead, they then went back to win the ball at contest and get it down the line and compete. And when they put Hardwick forward, Hardwick, he actually reads the ball like a well-trained forward. So he reads the shoulders, wherever the shoulders are pointing, he makes himself be in that line. So when the ball carrier looks up, straight ahead, he sees Hardwick in his line of vision. The one thing I've noticed too, you might have something to say on this, Hardwick's kicking a goal. He kicked 4 goals in the second half. His goal-kicking action is as pure as it gets. If there are people who are every week in, week out forwards who have a few problems with their goal kicking, look at Hardwick from Hawthorn. His goal kicking action is just pure. I wouldn't call it Peter McKenna-esque, but it is as good as you could see. It's copybook.
Yeah, it's a mechanism that seems so simple. It's hard to believe the other players don't look at that and try and copy it. You're spot on. Hey, speaking of Hawthorn, Derm, you've got the Hall of Fame, Hawks Hall of Fame night coming up Wednesday, 17th of April at the Plaza Ballroom. We've got two tickets to the Hall of Fame night to give away to a couple of callers. They're valued at $250 each. So looking forward to doing that. We'll give those away before the end of the show. And you can jump on the line if you're a Hawthorn fan, 1-300-736-736. And if you're a Hawthorn fan, give me your top three or four Hawthorn players all time, your greatest Hawks of all time, given that Lee Matthews is obviously, well, you tell me, Derm, he's the standout number one. Looking at your Hall of Fame and your team of the century, your centre-half four in the team of the century, Jason Dunstall and Peter Hudson are at the full forward line. When it comes to BNFs, Sam Mitchell has won five. That's the most anyone's won outside of Lee Matthews' eight. You've got a few guys that have won four, John Kennedy and Jason Dunstall and Shane Crawford. What's the order of great Hawks after Lee Matthews? Can you give me a rough rundown?
All right, so the order of Hawthorn greats is this, and make no mistake, it is Lee Matthews number one. There, of the 900-plus people who've played football for Hawthorn, all of them say Lee Matthews is number one, daylight, and then take your pick.
Did you hear many stories about Graham Arthur? It was just a bit before your time. Most games as captain, and he's obviously on a half-forward flank in the team of the century as well. What about some of the older guys that when you went to the club first up, you heard a bit about their legendary status?
Yeah, Graham Arthur, his nickname was Mort after the Macbeth character, I think it was, right. Shakespearean. Yeah, no, we knew all about those. So that's the one thing Hawthorn has always done really well. They will actually bring people in. The first time I got to the club, the great John Kennedy takes you into this tiny little room about 4 metres by 5 metres, and there are 20 prospective under-19 players there, and he would talk to you about what it was to be a Hawthorn player and to wear the jump, and he'd talk about past greats and what their deeds and the like. So Hawthorn has always paid an ode to their past players and past greats. Graham Arthur, a half-forward flanker, we'll put it this way. I just said how good we view Lee Matthews is, and he was a captain, premiership captain. He's clearly the number one player Hawthorn's ever had. But he's not captain of the century. Graham Arthur is.
Yep.
So that's the esteem with which he is held. Just an amazing man, beautiful man. I actually worked with him when I worked at the AFL for a couple of years as a 17, 18, 19-year-old, as a young man. And he was one of the... I think he was in charge of Victorian country football. He had a very good link with it. I think he came from the Shepparton way. And so, yeah, I got on very well with Graham and knew him pretty well. Yeah, champion bloke. But you've got two tickets to that.
Yes, the Hawthorn Footy Club. Thank you to the Hawthorn Footy Club. We've got two tickets to give away. We've got two doubles to give away to two callers.
Well, I'm speaking at the night, and it's one of the few times I'm ever going to be completely and utterly serious because I get to... Right. Induct and elevate one of our greats from being a Hall of Fame member to legendary status. So that is something which is going to be very dear to my heart.
I don't want to spill the beans here, but you know who's going to be elevated. And has it been made public? Because in terms of icons, when I heard the name, it surprised me that this person hadn't been elevated to legend status before.
Yeah, well, everybody will be able to work it out, but it's a person who will be legend status at two clubs. I don't think there's ever been, I can't think of anybody who's ever done that in the AFL. Maybe Kevin Sheedy, I don't know. Is he one at Richmond and is he one at Essendon? But the great, so we're talking on behalf of him. He meant so much to us. So, yeah, it's going to be somber, and it's going to be a great celebration of him. So, Yeah, we were just damn fortunate to land at a club that he was coaching at. So I think Jason is speaking, and the little rat, if he can remember his own name, we love him dearly too. Mm. Yeah, but he's been knocked around, the little fella. It'll be a fantastic evening. Yep.
Good on you, Derm. Great to have you, and we're giving those tickets away. So jump on the line, 1-300-736-736 on the Werribee open line. Give me your top three, four Hawks of all time, and send them through on the text as well, 0433 98 11 16, and we'll give the tickets away after the break.